I don't know what an intro to this fucking
wait for Dusty
movie will be.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm without an intro. Oh, that would have been great.
There you go. Once Jacob got over the cancer thing, and I'm definitely gonna die first.
That's all this movie made me think.
I don't know. Ben's got some intestinal stuff. Maybe me and Ben are racing to the funeral train.
And the way I look at it, I'm 12 years out from having cancer, and I haven't gone to the doctor since. I could be eaten up with tumors and not even fucking know it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, I'm gonna tell y'all right here. If unless you die like within 25 miles of my house, I'll just say my goodbyes now. So,
no road trip.
I'm not traveling states away. Sorry, Juice. I love you, man, but
you're not coming over from Roland, Oklahoma,
I'm not going to Fort Smith. So.
You won't even go to Fort Smith.
Hey, I've already said that I've been to way too many weddings and funerals in my life already, and I'm not going to any more. You know, so if any of you motherfuckers die, I'm going to be like, hey, you guys, I love you all, but I'm not going to that.
I don't think any of us that are dead would care. So
exactly. You're good.
I 100% would care. Jacob, you're coming to my funeral, asshole.
See, now I'm going to hear that echoing in my head as I'm fucking hanging out at the arcade down the street from your funeral. What I'm saying
all is, I think about who's going to be at my funeral, and now I know that Dusty and Jacob won't be there.
Yeah.
Good to know. That will affect. Hey, can remember those Walking Dead Telltale games? Ben will remember that.
Yeah.
can you like put it in your will to have it on Zoom?
Well, that's definitely mine's going to be on the Refund Theater Twitch. So subscribe.
Okay. Okay. Then I will be attending Andrews.
Yeah.
I don't particularly want a service, so you're all off the hook.
You don't want to preach it and talk about how
I will be leaving. I will be leaving a treasure map to some like probably woods porn.
Witch
porn. Yeah.
How much fun would that be?
At the witch's grave.
Dusty, if you left us like a treasure map, I'd be like, we got to do this for Dusty because I love you. And if you led us just to a stash of woods porn, I would like, that would be the funniest fucking thing. I think I would die of laughter when I got to it. Well, I'd have a boner and I'd be laughing and I'd die.
A boner with friends.
If I did anything like that, you'd get to it and then you'd open it up and it'd be a note and be like, damn, if only it was like them stupid fucking movies you made me watch. It's all bullshit. You wasted your fucking time.
Well,
you cut all the pictures out.
It wasn't
what all you could have done.
I didn't do this. Jeff did it. And old Jeff down here, he's in here in the Twitch chat. Jeff, thank you for your donation. Welcome to Refund Theater, everybody. If you don't follow us on all the things, do that. But I'm going to just dodge all that. We're doing without a paddle.
Jerry can't commit.
I won't play the role of nagging girlfriend anymore.
Nagging wife made you happier?
Oh, dear God.
Dan's a little timid.
I'm afraid of cellophane.
Like saran wrap?
Afraid that somehow it'll get draped over my head and...
That's very pathetic.
It's very sticky.
And Tom's not afraid of anything.
Is this Billy's funeral? Is that the corpse of Billy Newwood?
Tom! Where'd you guys park?
But for three childhood friends...
Let's take the trip. I have responsibilities.
The answers to their problems...
I hate you guys.
...are out there.
Hey, look, a deer.
From Paramount Pictures...
Just passing through?
We're just taking a trip.
You make a couple mistakes up there, you're gone.
Tom, you're a Boy Scout?
No, but I had a brownie once.
Friendship is a journey.
I'm in over my head!
Don't tell me that!
That's it. This is over.
I
I agree. Let's just swim up that waterfall, back over 20 miles of river, and wait for a rescue boat. Hey, up here.
And life is a trip.
All right, we'll climb the tree, and maybe we'll see a way out of here.
Tom, do you see anything?
Oh, that's it. Cleaner.
Let us nurture you.
I've been told I give a very good calf massage if you want to roll down those stockings.
Stockings. I'm all natural.
Super natural. After everything we've been through, I finally run out of things to be afraid of.
What doesn't kill you?
Stay calm. It won't bother you if you're in the fetal position.
Abort the fetal position!
Makes you stronger.
Help me!
Whatever it is you fellas are looking for, you gotta go out and get it. And you gotta go right now.
Not
right now, you idiots.
Seth Green, Matthew Lillard, Dax Shepard, and Burt Reynolds.
I learned a little something the last couple days.
I have two of the best friends anyone could ever ask for.
Stop, drop, and roll!
Without a paddle.
Our only chance is to huddle together for warmth.
I, for one, choose death.
My mind's telling me no. But my body's telling me
this never leaves the cave.
Remember back in the day when we were kids and movies didn't have to be cool for us to watch? Fuck. As soon as I start talking, man, apparently I didn't fix that.
Yeah.
But you guys remember back in the day when we were kids and movies didn't have to be cool for us to watch? We were along for the ride. It only mattered that we had our friends, you know?
I'm still there.
Yeah, I was about to say, Netflix still gives you that now.
No, no.
I guess that's true.
QB Halloween, man. It's the same director.
Well, that movie's cool.
Has anybody seen QB Halloween?
I have zero desire.
Yeah.
It's actually good.
He also directed Little Nicky, Mr. Deeds. Apparently, after Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, is a longtime Sandler collaborator.
Mr. Deeds. I don't know if Mr. Deeds holds up, but I liked that movie when it came out.
Yeah,
I watched the shit out of that. Well, the thing is, though, I watched the shit out of Mr. Deeds and Without a Paddle. So,
guys, I'm sorry. I had a fucking blast today watching this movie. I know. We always get the chat going on. I haven't seen this since it came out, and I remember enjoying it then. But man, like, it was just good, light fun, man. I didn't remember hardly anything about it.
I actually wrote down everything that I remembered before the movie, because I didn't remember I watched this movie. I've probably seen this movie 40 times.
That's too many.
Just because, well, I was 14 when it came out. I was just like just post being a Christian, I was still kind of on the train. So like, this was an acceptable movie. You know what I mean?
It didn't make you feel dirty.
No, even though, you know, they talk a lot about downstairs, a lot about vaginas, a lot of vaginas.
The little kids, it's Boy real, Scouts. That's,
you know, it's real PG classy. Humor. What do you remember?
I remember. I wish that I knew what I know now. That fucking song is this movie to me. Yeah. And then that there was a good soundtrack. I mean, there's a pretty decent soundtrack to this movie. Don't make that face, Dusty. Fucking Blind Melon. Fucking Hold On Loosely. Fucking I wish that song I just sang. Fucking
Bubba Sparks.
Fucking Bubba Sparks. What are you talking about?
Fucking Sparks. Yeah.
And then I remember we called
Creed. Bubba Sparks and Creed kind of knocked the rest of that shit out of the water.
And Spider Bates cover of Ram Jam's Black Betty.
And that's a good song, dude. Well,
Ram Jam's version is really good. Yeah, I agree.
Man, fuck Ram Jam.
Nobody fucks Ram Jam.
I remember
that one of the pot guys. Is Ram Jam one of the pot guys?
They should have called one Ram and the other Jam.
Yeah, no, well, the dogs were Leonard and Skinner.
Yes, so Ram Jam and Leonard and Skinner.
That's another thing I remembered. And right. Then the D.B. Cooper was involved. That's all I remembered. Yes. And then JoJo's Downstairs.com. And then I wrote the lesbian with a big bush. Wasn't a big bush. It is hairy legs. But it's funny that the hippie girl, did you guys notice her legs were like the hairiest legs in the world? Obviously, that was the joke. But her armpits were shaven completely pristine.
Yeah.
And she was wearing really good, like, foundational makeup.
just odd choices, I guess.
Yeah, her hair was super clean, not a dread to be seen, looked freshly washed, and
her shit looked healthy.
It's almost like she didn't live out in the woods at all.
That's the thing. Like, I wouldn't like. I had nostalgia fun with this movie, but like my third is, oh no, this movie sucks, doesn't it? That's my third note. And then my fourth note is, I'm about to have to make fun of a harmless movie. Because this movie's harmless.
That's the thing. I was realizing this is a live action cartoon. And that's the only way to view it, in my opinion, is that it's a cartoon, because nobody behaves like a real human being. Nobody lives like a real human being. The laws of nature don't apply. Animals have anthropomorphic, like, attitudes, actions, sometimes CGI'd mouths. It's
really
just
bad, really poorly CGI'd mouths.
Yeah,
that deer, man.
That's the thing is, that's why I was
drawn on.
and honestly, I'm not gonna speak for Dusty, but I imagine he might be on board with what I'm saying. In that, it's such, like you said, it's a harmless cartoon of a movie.
Yeah.
That there's nothing for me to sit there and just rip on. There's nothing really to sit there and go like, this is fucking dumb. But as I imagine a horror movie that you don't find scary is super tedious, a comedy that you don't find funny is extra tedious, because then you're just having to watch for the plot and what happens. And it's just, the plot is third, fourth, fifth, tenth to whatever, I guess, whatever gags they can get out. There wasn't a lot. Also, sorry, I'm just going on a tangent. The thing I also realized is I love comedy TV much more than I like comedy films, because unless a comedy film is within a specific genre, like a spoof or a parody, like your Aeroplanes, your Black Dynamites, those sort of specific things, rarely does it work, because comedy TV allows you to spend time with characters and then mine comedic moments from characters that you already know, and we don't know these fuckers. So, like all of these type of movies, like I watched a movie called Saving Silverman a lot when I worked at a video store, because it was PG-13, and they would let us just put on a PG-13 movie, and I thought it was funny at the time. Yeah, I have no interest in ever seeing it again, but I classify it very much within this type of movie, and it's 90% slapstick, because you can't get a lot of character-driven humor. You're going with 10% attitude of the actors, like, hey, they're kind of funny guys, they'll just carry these lines. Like 10% wacky situations, but then the rest of it all bleeds into mostly like kind of slapstick and physical comedy. And it's real, just not my style, man. It's not my tempo, not quite my tempo.
That's why Dumb and Dumber was so amazing, is because you really like it. There was slapstick, there was everything that you talked about, but also you knew those characters in 7 minutes.
Yes.
And then they got to play around with those characters throughout, and that's why they fall into this movie had a sequel too. But
this movie had a sequel.
Actors, were they playing the same characters though?
I don't know.
The new characters.
Ooh, I just know there was.
I looked that up.
I just know there was a sequel. So it's like, you know, with what it runs into is then you start, you know, you build these characters that everybody loves. You're like, oh shit, everybody loves these characters. Let's make another one. And fucking Anchorman 2 happens, which Jacob, I know you loved. And Dumb and Dumber 2 happens, which Jacob, I know you loved. And then Joe Dirt 2 happens, which Jacob, you didn't love. Yeah, that's the one. Because they think, you know, we have these toys to play around with, let's keep playing around with them, and all they do is fucking rewrite the original jokes. And
the second one does not have anything to do with the first one.
What's it called, Without a Paddle What?
Nature's Calling.
No, of course it's what it's called, because that's what that's what we say when we have to pee.
Because that's the first thing that somebody thought up of in the meeting when they were like, it's probably one of those things that was like somebody else was making a nature comedy and they were like, we're just gonna have, if you want our studio to back it, we're just gonna have to rename it Without a Paddle too.
Make it another.
You can keep most of your script, but we're gonna, you know, change it up.
Because this, you know, this movie's anytime they have a big hit, they're gonna just wring as much as they can out of it, if possible. They did that with the American.
Was this a hit?
This movie
it was made for $19 million. Its box office was $70 million.
Oh, and, wow! I did see it in the theaters. It was a first date. I saw it in the theaters. It was okay.
I was with my dad.
It's a cartoon for teenagers.
I was 14, man. I fucking loved this. I think we need the shit out of this movie.
I think we need to dig deep into the. Like, cause I don't know. I'm not saying I got some kind of superpowers where I can enjoy the fuck out of a stupid movie, but like
that is your superpower.
What is the thing that makes me watch it? Like, I laughed through this entire movie. I will admit, some jokes didn't land, and some of it's kind of like unrealistically goofy to where I'm like, what? That wouldn't happen. But ultimately, I can sit back, have myself a beer and fucking just smile and laugh at these, you know, hijinks of these, you know, friends. And I buy the friendship. It shows the stuff at the beginning with them as little kids. It shows them in the, you know, at the funeral and everything. I get into the story. I'm like, I picture us, you know, like there's people out there that have friends that they've known since they were little kids.
They'd have to act more or less like cartoon characters and more like reasonable people for me to buy into. Because real people I sympathize and empathize with. I don't empathize with Bugs Bunny. If Daffy Duck dies, I'm not like sad for Bugs Bunny.
As with Homer Simpson though.
Yeah, well see, but they're characters I know. They're characters I've grown to love. Bugs Bunny does have character development. Homer Simpson, no, but over a timeline, there are things he's learned and has experienced.
Oh, there's a lot of character development with Homer, for sure.
I feel like Seth Green's character, like you get the gist of what he is. You get the gist.
That's exactly what I don't like. All you're getting is the gist of a human being.
That's not true.
It's too predictable. Character,
you find out throughout the movie that he's been lying, and he confronts that in himself. And like
you could tell Dax Shepard was a liar from the moment he opened his fucking mouth.
Of course, but like the movie, the guy.
That's what I'm saying though. That's the gist of a real person. There's no real complications to any of that. It's all very surface level. This movie is Black Olives. Some people love Black Olives. My wife likes Black Olives. I'm not gonna sit there and hate on somebody who likes Black Olives. If you're like, hey Ben, we have a podcast about Black Olives, will you eat a couple of Black Olives for it? I'll be like, fuck, I hate this shit, but I'll eat them. It's fine. I'll eat three Black Olives. I eat three Black Olives, and I got nothing else to say about it. They're salty and gross, and I'd want to spit them out. And some people really dig them, and that's awesome.
Like my balls.
Yeah.
What's the difference between black olives and green olives, though?
I never see green olives on food. It's like pizza and stuff. Mm. I never see green olives. Juice, I've tried both. They're equally disgusting. I'm sorry. I should say I hate both olives. I don't like olives.
I was just curious.
Ben just likes black olives less.
I don't see green olives outside of martinis.
Green olives matter, I guess.
Sometimes they're in like chicken piccata. Like some Italian meals, but
I eat olives out of the jar. I love them all. I put them in my salad.
Without a Paddle is olives for
you. I put them on pizza.
Jacob also puts them on his fingers. Is like, hey guys, isn't this crazy? I think you nailed it though. That you can put like you and I watch movies differently. When I watch a movie, it is a third person view. I am watching a piece of entertainment that people made to put in front of me and then try to entertain me. When you watch movies, you put yourself and maybe your people around you in those movies. Like you see it as a scenario that like, and you've done it since you were a kid. You've always done that. And I think that probably allows you to enjoy stuff like this a little bit more because we're trying to see it as a piece of art or a piece of, like technique even and you see it as an experience like you're going on a ride at Universal Studios,
yeah.
Which I've said before, I fucking admire the shit out of that.
Yeah, I used to be the same way when we were like kids and stuff. I would do the same, man. That's how I would watch movies. It would be like, what if that was me and my friends and stuff, like just always in that. Especially that's why those movies hit, like movies like what's the movie you watched after this with seven?
Can't Hardly Wait.
God, that fucking movie hit slapped so hard whenever I was like teenage years, because I was just projecting myself and my peers onto all of this stuff. Yeah. I just can't do it anymore, man. I don't really go for
Empire
those
records. That was another one.
Yeah, that was like right. Yeah, that was like, I think when was Empire Records, like 2000? 99?
No, it was early. It was in the 90s. That was like 95.
No.
Yeah. Was it?
Records?
Yeah, man.
Damn. Okay. That like, was the one that didn't actually hit with me too much.
I didn't care for that. Like, I loved Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a great movie to watch at that time.
I love teen movies, though. This movie feels like it wants to be a teen movie, but it's like an early college movie, but it's really aimed at teenagers.
We were talking about this on Call of Duty. We were saying it was kind of stuck between the teen movies and like the revolution that was going to come with like the Todd Phillips Hangover, Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly type movies.
Wedding Crashers.
Judd Apatow, all that stuff was going to change comedy movies for a while.
Like in the treehouse when they're about to go on the you know, treasure hunt, they say, you know, we're 30 now. This might be the last time we ever, you know, have a chance to do anything stupid together or whatever.
That bummed me out too, because I'm 30 and I grew up watching it. And this movie was cool when I was growing up because these guys were cool. Like, not Seth Green, obviously, but because his character is a little sissy boy. But
now his character is the coolest, because like, you're a doctor, you're gonna have some money in your bank account later.
You can put that on fucking AMC and fucking take it to the moon.
Yeah.
You ain't worried about the volatility in the market. You're sitting pretty, dog.
Man, you got those diamond doctor hands.
It's just like the very end of Can't Hardly Wait, like the last scene, the nerdy kid who made friends with the jock when they were drunk, sees him the next day in a restaurant, is like, thanks for bailing me out. And then the jock is in front of his friends. And he's like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. And then the nerdy kid's like leaving, and there's like a freeze frame. And it says the nerdy kid went on to make like $40 million and married a supermodel. And then it cuts back to the jock, and, you know, obviously he had a worse life, and it just tells you like, yeah.
If you want to get real, real deep into it, you can almost argue those tropes have led into some of the incel culture that grew out, which is propaganda that like, if you were shunned and nerdy, it's okay. You're probably going to be the one that's going to own $1 billion and stuff. I'm like, yeah, three nerdy guys are going to get that title in the world. Sure. Like, yeah. It's going to be a very select few. And I could see it leading to, man, movie propaganda set me, Jacob, I'm sure you can agree with this, set me up for all kinds of visions of what life was going to be like. And it was none of that shit. And it was a crashing realization. And
I think that's a lot of that. I mean, I'm not gonna say that's the problem with movies. I think that's the problem with me letting myself believe all that. And because like but growing up in a small town, and your only window into the outside world is movies, like the
which are completely don't represent reality whatsoever,
right? But you think they do, because you're like, well, obviously real life is more fun outside of my tiny stupid town. And all these,
but it is, isn't it?
You think that, but then I mean, it sort of is, but you can go to any big city and realize that it's like, yeah, it's a big city. There's more options for sure. But like,
well, and I'm not going to go to a big city.
Life is still life.
I'm not going to go find a Xantar machine that will make me big or something like that. You know, it's just like
big movie, by the way.
But I think when I'm a kid, I think that's a possibility, because I don't know what's out there, because all I know is this little podunk town I live in, you know?
Also, every family in every movie we grew up lives in what would now be like a $500,000 home.
Sure. Oh, even
like no matter what you do, you live in a pretty swanky place or a pretty nice loft or an apartment.
Yeah. Especially Adam Sandler movies. If you're in an Adam Sandler movie, he always lives in the coolest fucking place. Look at
the like warehousey, like,
yeah, like Big Daddy and stuff, yeah, like that. Like, he's living in the coolest fucking place he can in New York City. It's giant.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm gonna get a warehouse in New York City and live there.
The like viral screenshots of somebody's apartment that was going for like $1,600, and it's like it looks like a closet. Like, right. It's a closet.
Right.
Like, oh, you should see some shit in San Francisco. Holy shit.
I can imagine.
It's like, because I you see it in memes, and then I know a couple people who live there, and they'll post things that they've seen on, like, that they're looking for, and it's the nuttiest shit. Like, San Fran's cool.
A place to sleep and a toilet.
Some of it's like a cubby. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. It's the gnarliest thing in the world. And like, I stayed at some guy's house in downtown LA, and it was a studio, but it was the smallest room. That's all it was. It was a room. It's the smallest room that you've ever seen. And there's a little like kitchenette, and then there's like, it was the crate. Like, I was like, okay, I'm definitely not going to fucking live here.
So Jeff was, when he donated for these two Dax Shepard movies, I guess, we're talking about Dax Shepard. I think Dax Shepard's pretty funny in this movie, probably unpopular opinion. When he rolls up at the cemetery,
is that the corpse of Billy Newwood? That was a pretty funny line.
I that's really fucking funny. Like, just the scenario of like being at a funeral and somebody, some idiot friend, because we all know that guy. I don't know if all of us are best friends with that guy, but we all know somebody that we grew up with that just had no fucking filter and would never shut the fuck up and was just, you know.
He's a completely inconsiderate, compulsive liar. It's not the same orientation on your screen, but Dusty, I'm going to guess that you are pointing at Jacob.
I wouldn't be that bad.
Everybody knew exactly who I was pointing at.
You know what? Back in the day, I might have pulled this at a funeral. But
when my first child was born and my wife showed Jacob a picture of her, Jacob goes, "She looks like a corpse."
I had a buddy who got mad at me one time.
You are Dax Shepard.
I had a friend who had a baby that was like less than a year old, and it just fucking, for some reason, this baby would just stare at me like angry stare at me all the time, and I don't know why. I looked at him and I was like, look,
did you drink vodka around that baby?
I know, seriously, I got this close to his face.
Just give me 2 seconds, baby.
You have to realize you're still stupid. That's what I told him. Like, you haven't figured out how the world works. And my buddy got like genuinely angry at me. Like, he was like, dude, he's not stupid, bro. I said,
babies are stupid.
I said, you have to understand, first of all, he ain't winning a spelling test tomorrow, right? The other thing is, he's not even old enough for me to know if he's stupid. So that proves that I was joking. And he's like, he said he's not stupid again.
You should be like, well, if he's not stupid, he should be offended right now.
Yeah. Look at him. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed the expression on his face one time. He doesn't even know we're talking about him, and he's fucking not stupid.
He would get really offended.
Doesn't know language.
Yeah. Yeah. When that kid was two, I was riding a hoverboard around the dad's house, and I fucking ran over the kid's foot. That's the one that I. That's where. All right, that one was my bad.
Did you eventually make up with the friend?
Yeah, we were cool. Like, he said that, and then like we were immediately cool like 5 minutes later, because
you should text him now and be like, dude, I was thinking about that, and I was way off base. Your baby was ignorant, is what it is.
You're stupid.
You're stupid, but your baby's ignorant. All
right, so I guess I find Dax Shepard funny because I have things in common with him. So that's
I thought it was funny when they were like, I thought Matthew Lillard, see, Seth Green, there were some moments in this where he was like, his acting was fucking really bad at certain moments in this movie. There's certain times when it was very, like, where it was good. Jacob, I'll send you some clips. There were like three or four times where, like, when
what?
when he was like DB Cooper, he was like
any exposition line of his was terrible. Yeah, where he had to explain the backstory.
Who's this?
Seth Green.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
when you'd be like, hey, and remember we did the whole thing about DB Cooper. You remember DB Cooper, guys, the famous guy who robbed a bank and was never found and he laid it somewhere around here.
And their whole childhood was like obsessed with DB Cooper, so he clearly wouldn't have had to explain to his friends who DB Cooper was.
That's the worst thing. I don't like a movie that treats me as that I'm too dumb to know who DB Cooper is. So,
or do it with like, you can do it with like headlines on a newspaper, or like you could do it in a different way other than let's just have Seth Green tell the whole story. Most awkward way. So like they gave Seth Green all those fucking assignments in this movie because he was an uncool guy. But I thought Lillard and Dax were kind of funny at certain times. Like I said, when he was like, when Dax said that he won Employee of the Month because he was the guy at the Roaring Rapids in San Dimas, he was the rapid guy, and he's like, I won Employee of the Month, and then Matthew Lillard like moves on to something else and is talking to Seth Green. He goes, wait, were you really Employee of the Month? And Dax goes, no, I lied about that too. It's a good delivery.
He's a funny guy.
Honestly, all these guys are funny, and I'd rather watch an hour and a half of them all just shooting the shit around a dinner table than watch this movie.
Yeah. Dax's podcast is pretty good.
Shit.
Dax had an amazing edit.
He had a good line, though, when they rolled up on that sheriff, and he was like, someone ordered a new set of teeth.
Yeah.
I did chuckle at that one.
Yeah, he's like, what's that? And he's like, taser guns. That's all. He like completely turns it into something else.
Back in the day, I didn't know DB Cooper was a true story. And I just thought that was something the movie made up. But since then, I've seen, you know, stuff on YouTube about DB Cooper. And so it kind of gave a new shine on the movie for that too, you know?
I knew somehow, but I didn't know like independent of this movie. Like I didn't know before the movie, so I don't know how. Maybe my dad was like, "Oh yeah, there's a true story" or something like that.
Yeah, I concede that you probably have to tell a wide audience who DB Cooper is, but then
yeah, I had no.
I go right back to Andrew's point in which you could have done that in so many ways that wasn't as awkward and stilted as the exposition dump.
That's so weird. I found no awkward or stilted. I guess I just got right into this movie, dude. Like I
it's woke up you're because used to that watching movies with awkward and stilted dialogue all the time. That's like baseline. So that's Billy. Like normal.
Some of your favorite ones are. I defend a lot of your defensive movies. That one was so fucking blatant that it was like I knew like at least four of us were going to notice that.
What are you talking about? What?
when he's dumping exposition about DB Cooper.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was completely never found. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah. Oh, DB Cooper. Oh, these kids are super obsessed with him. Oh,
yeah, DB Cooper was a true story.
He was never found. Holy shit.
It's a true story. And he's got a map.
Good thing he reminded his friends.
It's very Goonies. Like, you know, I would like to go on an adventure like this with all you guys. And so like I watched this and I'm like, that's what would happen to us. Dusty get carried away by a bear. And we
Dusty?
I think I'm getting carried away by the bear.
I can almost guarantee you whatever bad happened would be to you. You would be the one to fucking fall off the cliff or fucking lose. Or dip the boat, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think we'd all be. You and Andrew might disappear.
I'd die, fucking.
I think the rest of us would be all right.
I would die so fast. The first time we got a ticket on him and just go. Yeah, or yeah, a pack of mosquitoes would pick me up and just fly me around the forest overnight,
like pteranodons.
Yeah,
I want to tell you, I'm watching movies like
they just land on you and suck you dry. Just
the movie's trying to
like,
get
oh
me
shit,
to worry.
Andrew's dead.
The movie's always trying to get me to worry about what's going on in the movie, but certain movies like this, like the second somebody's feet get wet and they don't address it and just keep on walking around with their socks and shoes on. Like I check out and I'm just like, I couldn't fathom this. Like I'd have dry my fucking shoes out. I'd have to, cause like, and they do it so many, and there's a few times in the movie where they'll like do it just on purpose. Like when Dax Shepard is going to go fishing at night. I mean, they're all settled in. They're trying to, you know, they got their campsite set up. If you're going to go in the water, take your fucking shoes off, pull your pants up, you dumb ass.
Yeah.
Like it's very uncomfortable. to have fucking sloshy feet.
That's Jacob's biggest critique of this movie. Wet feet.
That's why the guy who got 9.9.
The guy
watch who it again and try to keep track of how wet these people are.
But you let a whole mountain of ants destroy your foot, and you want to critique this movie about people getting wet feet.
I didn't know they were doing it, Juice. If I would have known I was stepping in ants, I probably wouldn't have done it.
Maybe these guys didn't know they had wet feet. Like, how do you
not know? They knew they had wet
feet. Well, how did you not know that you had ants all over your feet?
You tell me. I don't know.
I was high. Hey,
that's usually that's a pretty high cause of death of people that get lost in the woods is getting wet. Right off the bat, you're not knowing better.
Yeah, so, and Jacob, I didn't know.
It just wasn't funny.
I did notice when that happened. When he walked in, I was like, he just fucking walked right into the river. Like,
You're fucking too wet. What if something happens?
And were they not in Oregon? Is that where this took place?
Yeah, it was in Oregon.
Yeah, it's cold in Oregon.
I don't know. Yeah, and those woods want to kill you. It's like going to Australia. So, like, and then you run into fucking Ethan Suplee and his friend.
Who is that guy?
Who's Suplee Ethan?
I looked him up, but I don't know.
Ethan Suplee?
I know who Ethan Suplee is, of course.
The other guy was a big kid in some high school comedy drama or some shit. Was he in the Wonder Years or some shit? He was another big dude who's been in a lot of shit. He's like a big guy character actor.
If he was in the Wonder Years, that's really cool because Ethan Suplee was in Boy Meets World, and I didn't ever make that connection until just now.
He was Frankie the Destroyer, bro.
This guy played young Dan Connor and Roseanne.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
That
what sense. Else was he in? I want to know if I was right about the.
Was
Wonder
he
Years.
In the Wonder Years? Yeah, because that's what I was thinking. Or was it? There was another show on.
That's Fox. What I'm saying. It could have been Life Goes On. I don't know. It could have been any number of things.
I think that's.
Yeah,
the
he
one.
Was Corky. He was thanks. Fuck yeah, I forgot about that. that dude, I watched the shit out of that show when I was younger. I watched it a lot. I watched a lot of Life Goes On.
Me too.
I don't remember anything.
Remind
about
you,
it.
Jacob.
What? I remember
why you watched it.
Jesus Christ. It's like watching Jacob in concert. I was like, did Jacob send us another video?
This dude's in The Shadow. If anybody, he was in Twister.
X-Files, I think, Twister. As well. Yeah.
George of the Jungle.
I remember him in George of the Jungle. Who was he? Where was he in Twister?
He played Bubba. In Twister.
He was on ER. That's where I remember.
He was in the X-Files. That's right. Yeah, he's in Buffy. Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Hey, I found out the one we're trying to find. He was in Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Oh, man. That Parker Lewis, he can't lose.
Okay.
He was not in the Wonder Years. We're just mixing all of our 80s.
It's all... we're getting to that age where it all kinds of just... blends together. It's one big memory.
Yeah, it's one big memory at this point.
He was in one of the picture shows we used to watch when we
when I was a kid. You had to wait for it to show up when on your TV. You couldn't just pick it.
The picture shows were picked for you.
By computer programs now.
And if there were commercials,
be home on Friday nights at 7 to watch that show. I could just turn it on anytime when my pampered little ass wanted to watch it.
I will say, Ben, Matthew Lillard had the least character development because the only thing we know about this guy in his adult life is he's kind of he likes to surf and he's kind of a shitty boyfriend. And that's all we know.
He's got a desk job that he's not happy with.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But we don't know why he's a shitty boyfriend other than...
I was like, what did he do that was shitty?
Right.
Well, he forgot his anniversary.
Oh, well, he did forget
the first date.
Yeah.
He forgot the anniversary of their first date.
See,
not like
that's
married.
Some of that movie bullshit where also movies portray all women as like unreasonable. Like, you better remember the first date. I don't know a goddamn girl who remembers the goddamn what our first date was. Like,
you don't know a lot of girls then, because
and you're not very memorable. That's all it is.
These really exist.
I was gonna say they do exist.
They're just the worst.
I'm not with one.
Here's the thing. It's not that It's not that they don't exist. It's that they're the default prototype for women in these type of movies.
Well, they drive stories pretty well. If girlfriends were like, oh, that's fine, then the story's not as good. You know,
I guess that's true. But like, it sucks that the wife or girlfriend character always has to be short-shitted.
That's changed a lot now.
The male character always has to be forgetful and what's the word? Inconsiderate.
Yeah. Well, and when you talked about this changing a lot, Juice, we were talking about this we were chatting on Warzone. This is like Without a Paddle is like Poison. If The Hangover is Nirvana, you know what I mean? This is like the last gasp was of a kind of a hair metal comedy era of a certain type of comedy scripts. Yeah. Because I don't want to say audiences have gotten more sophisticated, but I do think that they have because they've been exposed to a much wider variety of shows. And we hit the golden age of television. When was that? 2010s roughly when they were saying that, like, that was when TV started to surpass Hollywood as far as like quality content.
It's like when Lost hit, basically, but and The Sopranos,
Breaking Bad around that time.
A little later. The Wire. This movie would be rated R if it was made now, and they would have like been fucked by a Sasquatch or some shit. Like, that's the thing. Like, these movies made now are made by Judd Apatow. They're 2 hours and 45 minutes long, and they have like some of the most shocking physical comedy you've ever seen. You know what I mean? It's like, go ahead.
I'm trying to think of what is the shocking physical comedy in Judd Apatow movies?
They like showing penis Judd Apatow movies.
Yeah, they like doing that. And I guess it's not Judd Apatow. It's Seth Rogen with This Is the End when he gets raped by the devil.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was like, I get the sentiment. I was just like, but I couldn't tie Apatow.
Yeah, so like what they do now is they'll like, even with Pineapple Express, when it shows his ear after he gets shot, and like that's not that shocking, but that's the type of joke that they go for now that's physical. Whereas in this movie, it's like they're throwing shit at those guys, which that part was.
And honestly, my tastes are, I do prefer the extreme physical comedy. Like, I love when, and It's Always Sunny, when Cricket gets his neck cut open and blood's going everywhere. Yeah. I like kind of like horror levels of slapstick
that can be really funny sometimes.
It can be overdone for sure. Anything can be overdone, but I definitely skew more towards that than throwing poop on the
red. I would rather get my throat poked than get a ton of shit thrown at me.
I can wipe the shit off and then live. And the throat poke,
you're in the minority on that one.
If you were those two guys, the shit just disappears off of you anyway in the very next.
Those dudes probably smelled like that anyway. They were pretty gross.
They might have been into
it. One dude had a new wave phase. That was the only part where I was like, even still, like, I was like, that's funnier on paper than how it played out.
The
joke on paper would have made me chuckle more than the joke as it played out.
They had a lot of guns.
Them throwing Seth Green through the wall didn't make you laugh at all? Did you see that part?
I guess not.
Where they
felt really bad for Seth Green in that moment.
Assholes. They were cornered by the two hillbillies and Matthew Lillard and Dax Shepard. One of them goes, "Let's go through there." And Seth Green goes, "There's not a door there." And it cuts to outside, and Seth Green just smashes through the wall. So they just threw him through the wall.
I have a real soft spot for Seth Green. I want to just hold him and hang out with him and cuddle him.
Nothing
sexual. I just want to be like, "What's up, dude?"
Seth Green in this movie, my dad was always like, that's I'm not gonna say his name, that's my sister's husband.
Dude, I thought the same thing. I was gonna say it earlier, but I was like, nobody's gonna get that joke. He's very much...
My dad always said that, and my sister's husband's awesome. He's fucking great, he's hilarious, but
he's real straight. and he's cool, but he's real like PG.
There's a line he won't cross. Exactly. And like, yeah. I like Seth Green a lot. I think he was the weakest of the three in this movie. When I was a kid, I wouldn't have said that. I don't know who I would have picked. I probably liked them all three. I probably would have copped out and said I liked them all three the same because I love this movie. But Seth Green's character, like there were certain when he was being the fucking, is that C-3PO? Yeah, that's C-3PO.
Yeah. That's great.
That was horrible. And then, it was bad. And then,
dude, I fucking giggled my ass off at that shit. He did a pretty good C-3PO.
I've been in that box for a very long time. Yeah, if you want to hear him do some funny shit with C-3PO, fucking watch Robot Chicken, dog.
Yeah, he does. I know he can do better. Like the character he played in this was a variation on the nerd character he plays in Robot Chicken and different skits and stuff. And I don't know, he was just irritating in this. Like the Robot Chicken is funny, but it's like maybe a minute of it. And then we move on to something else. This is like 4 hours of him, that meekish, just not really funny, like a nerdy guy.
1 hour and 38 minutes long.
It was not.
Dude, we thought this movie was so over. It like when there was 36 minutes left up in the tree fort, when they start throwing the shit at
that was like the climax.
Yeah, it was like that's third act shit right there. We're done.
That's not the end of the movie.
Dusty didn't watch this whole movie.
You said that you said in the chat that was the end of it, so that's where I turned it off.
No, he said in the chat that he thought that's what it was.
Oh, my bad.
And there's 36 minutes left.
I missed out. I finished this fucking movie. I ain't no hack. What the fuck? I didn't make it without a paddle.
I was going to say, we got to talk about Burt Reynolds because
I didn't recognize him for the longest time.
He was redeemable.
The second I heard his voice.
Redeeming.
He had some moments, yeah.
Dude, I thought, and I actually thought he was still fucking with him when he said he wasn't D.B. Cooper. I thought that was going
to happen. Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I love the story.
Dynamite.
Love the story of that guy just fucking hanging
that
out.
That went too long, though. The dynamite thing went dynamite fucking too
long. It was kind of funny at first, though. Yeah. I gave a grin.
Dynamite. Neither one of them could do it right.
When he said, when they cut back to him after he like intimidates him, then they go back to the hillbillies, and then they cut back, and he's like, what did he say? He's like, the testicle thing really got me. He's like, that was off the top of my head. That part I thought was kind of good.
Yeah. No, I liked his character a lot in this movie. I liked his shack. I want a shack in the mountains.
Yeah. See, that's the thing though. That's you living in movies again.
It's like nobody wants to watch a movie for the shacks.
The Unabomber lived in a shack in the mountains and fucking shit in a bucket. And he probably didn't have a great time. Well, he might've had a great time cause he was Unabomber.
Yeah. Plus he was like, you know, there's no computers in this bucket toilet of mine. I love taking a shit in it.
Dude, you get me a shack in the mountains with like some good video game systems and some good movies
and a generator
and food. And I'd be fine.
Food, okay. Some games, rad, and you're good. Rad and BVS. Rad. If you had just rad and BVS, you think you'd be good for life?
I've really soured on BVS, I gotta tell you.
Jesus Christ. So we need to do the part three.
But only because I watched it too many times.
I watched it too much. It was so good. But I watched it.
That's the thing,
much.
Though. I can never say I watched Rad too much. I love that movie until I die. But
it's never gonna turn into bad.
BVS turned into no way, man. It's fine, but it does have a lot of problems. It died with Martha, man. I knew in the theater when I was still Mr. Hype.
Yeah,
I my whole world shifted the second Martha happened. Like I was like, wait a minute, they can't come back from that. They can't come back from that. That's terrible.
I'm glad you're admitting that.
I was like, okay, I'm gonna keep watching the movie, and then I tried to forget about it, and I'm like, okay, well that's just one part of it. It's fine, and then I'm like, but wait a minute, that's the whole reason that they stopped fighting. Oh my God, that's stupid.
Your mom's name is Martha too? What? Dude, has it always become best friends?
So then I go back and I watch it.
Like 2 years to figure that out.
Or to admit it, at least.
It was literally like It was like I'm one of those dudes that can't accept that his wife cheated on him, even if I catch them fucking in person. And I'm just like, I walk out of the room. I go, that's fine. And I walk out of the room, and my wife and I never talk about it. And I just have this look on my face. And then 2 years later, I'm like, that bitch cheated on me.
She was bleeding to death from her vagina. He's plugging it up.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
That's got to be it, man.
She didn't have any tampons around.
Yeah. He's trying to help.
She needed some help until she... Yeah, it's got to be it.
This he was tripping forward. She knew that his dick was hard. She didn't know why, but she knew it was going to break, and she didn't want that poor man's dick to break in half. Yeah. The softest thing she had for it to land on.
She's always been sweet like that.
She's always thinking of other people. Like she does. She does the daily food drive at our church. This can't be happening.
Yeah, so she was bleeding, and his dick was going to fall.
Go ahead, do yours first, and I'll do mine.
Good. Go ahead.
His scenarios are much more thought out than that to make dumb shit movies happen. So, like, it'd be this big, extravagant fucking. It would literally be a 2-hour story of he tripped and fell, and his dick went in me. But Jacob would have it all worked out to where it made sense. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, this is what I see happen. Like, he come in, he was like helping her hook up the VCR, and he tripped and fell on a slipper. You remember that thing that they left out like earlier in the movie?
And then you bring it up like a year later, and he's like, okay, 6 months after that, he's like, listen, remember the story I told you about my wife with the dick? I tweaked a few things now that I remember. Consider this the Cotner cut. Here's what happened. Here's how it all works out.
Yeah. It was dumb, but I love it.
It took me a while.
It's always been good to me otherwise.
It took me a while of the pool boy coming over that I realized I didn't have a pool.
They both realized their mother's names were Martha. That's what happened.
My wife and the pool boy have a lot in common. They both have a mother's name Martha.
Yeah.
And so you got a point at that point.
You suck a dick if you have the same mind.
Yeah. It's in the Bible.
They were brother and sister. It makes so much sense.
They're probably related down the line if you think about it.
This like, movie had a more realistic resolution with the fucking grenade.
Dude, that grenade. Martha. Okay. Dude, that fucking tree falling on those dudes.
Yeah,
just the shot itself, not the fact that it happened.
Yeah,
just that shot was
pretty good.
Excellent.
That is definitely the cartoon because they go in like Wile E. Coyote. Just
exactly, it's like they go into the ground.
And well, I bet that would happen with a tree that heavy. You wouldn't even slow the tree down.
No, you would get crushed to death, but you wouldn't go into the earth like Wile E. Coyote. What I was going to say is I wish they would have had the technology of Wonder Woman to get some real dolls on there and just actually see some physical manifestation get crushed by that tree, because arms would like snap off and shit. And that would be real gruesome and funny. Well,
you'd be tore up and have limbs stuck through you.
It'd be horrifying. It would be great comedy if they would just like.
When they turn around and use the compass, though, you can hear the bad guys still moaning. So it's Looney Tunes.
The tree was wrestling a little bit.
They come up and one of their hats raises up from the lump on their head.
Hell yeah. It was an acme tree.
An acme tree.
If I'm going in, especially if I'm going into a movie like an Adam Sandler movie, which this kind of is because it's the director and, you know, just the absurdity of it.
A lot of the same tropes.
Yeah. If I'm going into one of those, I just turn on my, okay, this is a cartoon button, and I laugh at the cartoon, you know?
I turn that on, but I'm just like, I don't want to watch a fucking cartoon right now.
Well, speaking of more Dax Shepard, Ben, I tried to turn on my this is a cartoon button for Home Alone 4, and that's a legitimately awful movie. And I couldn't do it. You know, like, it's terrible.
Yeah, it was so awful. We had like so much more to say about it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing. That's the thing about movies like this. I'm thinking maybe the next Dax Shepard, the prison movie that we're going to do for Jeff,
I'm thinking it's a Dax Shepard double feature.
Ashley saw that and said it's not good. And yeah. So we'll have more to talk about with
that. I never watched it because it has all the right... It was like, oh, the people in this are funny. I wonder if this is good. And then everyone said it was fucking terrible. And if idiots think it's terrible...
Maybe Jeff wanted us to watch
it one way or the other.
A decent Dax Shepard movie.
And I'm not calling people who watch the idiots. I'm talking about people at Hastings specifically who would just be like, that fucking sucked. I'm like, that guy's an idiot. He thought it sucked. It's either going to be great art house or it's going to be total trash.
We've been talking pretty seamlessly for like 45 minutes about this movie. You guys are saying that we don't have any shit to talk about this movie.
Yeah, and me saying that just made you say that. So look at us talking about the shit I'm bringing up.
So it's just, bullet time.
It's just an engine for conversation, Andrew.
Oh, here we go.
Bullet time is the original meme. I've decided. Like that, I think that's...
Yes! Yes, you are correct.
They put that in like every movie.
This is 2004. This is 5 years after the fucking Matrix, and they still did a fucking bullet time joke.
Yep. Oh yeah, and then
it's always the backwards one.
Well, and then your back always hurts afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, see,
that was the corniest shit. That he's like, oh my back. It's like shut the fuck
up. Any movie studio should have been like, guys. Let's not do this. I know it's in the script, but the script was written in 2000. Like, come on. Like,
people loved that joke when it happened, though. That was a trailer joke.
It was the meme. Yeah. It was Bernie in the chair.
Especially since they were stoned and movies acted like when you get high, it's like taking mushrooms back then. So, like,
oh, I wrote that down. In this movie and all of these movies, weed effects are portrayed like really what LSD effects might be closer to. And LSD effects in movies are always portrayed as like some crazy DMT style. You're hallucinating insane things. People smoking weed in this movie. Like that's how I would act if I was tripping a little too hard and found something a little too funny. Like I've never smoked weed and been that ridiculous. Like, I hate those.
The first time, maybe. Like, the first time if you smoke too much. Or like
the first time is when you're 14, and so you're already stupid and a teenager and loud, and like, everything is amplified even more anyway.
I've been around people that smoked for the first time and acted movie high, I think, because they thought they were supposed to.
Yeah, I think that's what I did like, when I first smoked it when I was 15.
You can knock that shit off. I know you're full of shit. All you want to do now is snack and sleep. You ain't seeing shit in the other room. What is that? What is that?
I must say the first time I smoked weed, I was like 14 and I was pretty loopy and acting like an idiot, but
I didn't feel it at all.
I remember.
I
hear that a lot too. No, my first time I remember like something happened in my vision that doesn't happen anymore, but I definitely didn't see I definitely didn't see Dusty as a little kid and start talking to him.
Well, and that was mostly all for the sentimental moment. This like kind of sad, like, hey, is it cool being a grown up? Not really, my man. Like that's the thing that we haven't hit yet in this movie.
Billy. But that's also the thing. Wait a minute.
Is that
you've got to be a grown up? Why is little kid Billy asking if what it's like to be a grown up?
That is interesting.
Why did their hair all look like it was in the 70s when Billy went off to die?
They're weird. They're weird.
It did. Everybody had like 70s shirts on.
Yeah, stuff. Everyone was dressed like that 70s show, and then we were like back to 2004.
Well, they grew up in the 80s.
Well, wait, if they're 30 in 2004,
because they graduated from from high school in 92 in this movie.
Okay. Well, no. Okay, never mind.
How old is because they're 30,
that's 12 years.
Okay.
Right. When
how old is Seth Green?
Okay, but movie? Yeah, but nobody looked like the 70s in 92. Yeah, that was like the sense.
Yeah.
That would have been like the lowest point.
But it wasn't 92. Culture.
When was it?
Well, I guess it wasn't. I guess you're talking about. I thought you were talking about their child haircuts.
No. Well, their child haircuts are when he.
I thought you were talking about their childhood haircuts.
No. We're talking about their when he drives away. They're all like feathered hair and like 70s shirts.
Yeah.
It felt very 80s. it felt very like these losers don't know what the times are like now.
Yeah.
Can we touch on that Billy is Homelander from The Boys?
You can touch on that all you like. Touch away.
I'm sure he would enjoy it.
I didn't even notice. My daughter was watching it, and she's like, Homelander.
And we talked about this on the show before.
We did?
Yeah,
I forgot.
I forgot.
Well, I don't know if it wasn't mentioned last week. We talked about it on The Boys because when this movie started, I was like, Billy is somebody. And then when I saw Billy, I was like, fuck, I don't know who that fucking guy is. That makes sense because I haven't seen The Boys.
That'll do it.
Anyway.
Was Andrew's connection weird for anybody else?
It was very weird for me. Okay. I thought maybe I was tripping.
I couldn't
shut
tell
up, guys. My shut connection. Up.
I had some of that Ethan Suplee weed.
You got some of that 2000s movie weed.
Speaking of that fake weed, when they're in the pot guy's fucking barn, Dax grabs a handful of it, and it's like it looks like the shittiest weed I've ever seen in my life.
Like,
what the fuck is this shit?
That's some like dirt grown sativa out.
It was not even weed, bro. It didn't even almost look like weed.
These guys grow
a solid brick that you'd have had to have a chisel to bust apart, or it'd been like these fat, luscious nugs, man. I don't know. Wizard's beard off of trees out in the fucking woods.
There's guys out here, and I'm sure it happens to you guys though. And this holds with what you're saying with it being bad weed. There's guys here that get this like cartel bricks. That's like half the weight is seeds, and like you pull it out of these, like it's not the strings like that, but you know what I mean. That's what
brick weed looks like.
Yeah,
before it's bricked. So that's why I was like, it looked like it was such low grade shit weed. I'm like, is this really the type of weed you guard with guns? And like, I guess you do because it's 2004.
Back then, yeah.
It's federally illegal. Yeah,
because those bricks came from somewhere, Ben.
Still is federally
illegal. Yeah, you still make a lot of money off of that shit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. One thing people will kill for very small amounts of profit. So
did you guys look at who directed Let's Go to Prison?
No,
who is it?
Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, that's hard. That sucks.
And then one of the writers is Thomas Lennon.
Yeah, they've written some bad scripts though.
And it's got Will Arnett in it and David Koechner.
Oh wow! All people I like. That's the thing. It's going to have all the right parts, but I don't think it's going to come together.
And Michael Shannon is in it.
That's great. I love Michael
Shannon. Tim and Eric are in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this movie stinks.
I don't remember hating it, but I also don't remember it that well.
I haven't seen it, but I don't
remember it at all.
It has a 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's lower than this movie.
27 out of 100 on Metacritic. Its budget was you know that it barely made over its budget because its budget was $4 million, and then you look on it and it says box office $4.63 million. And I only put the points when it's just barely over.
And Bob Odenkirk is a genius comedic writer, which also goes to show that writing for small TV is a lot different than making a movie funny. So I think it's way harder to make a movie funny.
And being a genius being a genius doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to strike gold every time. Like, comedy.
Eddie Murphy has a lot of bad movies.
Comedy means like a lot of great comics take a lot of risks, and a lot of risks. Like that's why, we've talked about before, SNL. There's a lot of duds, and there's a lot of duds because they have to make so much shit, and it doesn't make them any less brilliant when they make a bad sketch. You know what I mean? So
also, I'm going to try and give this movie a chance because one of my favorite comedies also had, I don't know if it still does. I don't know if it's been retroactively raised at all, but Wet Hot American Summer had like a fucking like 11% on Rotten Tomatoes for like the longest time. And that movie cracks me up. So
I haven't seen that one.
Different taste. But comedy's weird.
Yeah.
Comedy's weird because unless it's like a lot of like comedies that get really high marks are just real broad still to me. And I think that's the only way, because otherwise it's so subjective what people find funny.
It's like horror movies. I mean, yeah. They get terrible reviews too, and they could be fantastic.
If they hit you, yeah. If you find it scary, then it's going to work.
This kind of movie, like I got big Dude, Where's My Car vibes off of this. Like it seems
one
like
we should do, by the way. That's a good idea.
Like, I mean, I love the shit out of Dude, Where's My Car, but it was obvious that was not the movie that they set out to make. They wanted to make a stoner fucking comedy and just ended up having to cut its balls off and make it this super safe. But Stifler and who else is in that movie?
Ashton Kutcher.
Were pretty fucking funny, you know, what I remember. It's been forever since I saw it. And that's what this movie, it was just
bad, good chemistry.
Too fucking safe with three guys that I didn't feel they were buddies. I know they're buddies. Like, I know they are because they're part of the whole Robot Chicken crew. Their friends come on and do voices for their fucking skits they do. But this movie, you didn't get any of that chemistry from those three guys. Plus, it was way too clean. Like, there's probably very few people that are this clean in their real lives, and it's just so fucking standoutishly fake. Like,
they talked about downstairs
a lot,
dude.
I'm raised up with fucking Christians, huh?
They talked about
what?
Downstairs a lot, bro. How can you?
Yeah, but it was like super safe bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
I've been on things with Christians that were more vulgar than this. You know, like this is just too middle of the road, too safe, too fucking. You know, let's just cash this in, make a few bucks on it, move on.
Yeah, but I agree with you. But like we talked about earlier, like if this movie was rated R, Seth Green would have been fucked by that bear. That's the difference. That's how this movie changes. Is like, instead of hairy legs, you get a big fat hairy bush, and that bear fucks Seth Green.
See, I don't know.
Do you get a homophobia joke? You got a good homophobia joke with you know, them cuddling in the cave. That was great.
Oh yeah, one of them gets a boner.
That was funny, dude.
Oh yeah, that's when that was still the era when all men had to be completely on alert as to whether anything was remotely gay.
But
anything that they did better not be gay at all. Whether it's like in Karma Chameleon or huddling up with your bro for some warmth out in the woods, you got to worry about it, man. Are you gay now? Because if you're gay, it's all over. There's technically not anything wrong with it, but we're going to keep treating it as a joke for
you. Should rather die.
Hey, yeah. Man. Hey, man. You are right. You are right. And, and you see this.
Damn right we are.
Especially Can't Hardly Wait had 3 F bombs in it when I watched it today. And not the F-U-C-K bombs, the F-bombs, you know, that we used to hear all the time in movies.
Yeah.
He used to say all the time in middle school.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this was after that. We had gotten at least that under control.
Yeah, for the most part. Every once in a while, but yeah, for the most part.
But the actual joke there where Matthew Lillard purposefully gives Seth Green a boner so that it will fucking poke Dax Shepard is fucking hilarious. I had a good time with that. That's funny.
I'm proud of you, Jacob. and the my favorite gay joke was the hills have gone gay. One of the hillbillies when they're singing they're singing Culture Club, and he's like, the hills have gone gay.
Yeah, that was funny.
That's a good line.
It's funny that they even, like, Seth Green didn't want to go any further in that tunnel. They start singing.
Yeah, they start singing.
Dude, I don't know, man. Like, this was pure joy for me this morning. I woke up this morning, the first thing I did was watch this movie, and I started the day off with smiles, man. And we all watched it. The whole family watched it except for the son, because he didn't wake up that early. But
yeah, has he woken up yet?
Yeah, I think he just woke up. Yeah, but we had such a good time, man. And Gracie'd never seen it, and she absolutely loved it. And you know, so
yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's not offensive at all, unless you really want to get like super comedy snob about it. Like, it's stupid. There's nothing that's really too offensive. It's very stupid.
Vanilla.
It's very vanilla. Everything is a lesson. Like, even
lesson.
Listen, the adventure is the, like, that's why I said in the group chat earlier, the adventure is the lessons you learn along the way. That's this entire movie.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
That's fine.
I like the Star Wars speeder reference. Like,
okay. Yeah. It's a 2004 harmless comedy movie that, like, this was from a simpler time. I mean, it was 3 years post 9/11. I get it. this is the end of Bush's first term and all that shit. But, you know, people hadn't stormed the Capitol yet. You know what I mean? we didn't have, there was no COVID going on.
It was a simple time when you could watch a movie about three dudes getting lost in the wilderness and having a few hijinks and running.
There's no black people whatsoever around for miles.
Dude, there wasn't a single black person in this movie.
Not even in the background.
When it first started, I knew that when it first started, because, like, I don't know why, but
feels
that,
like a no black people
in my head, and I said poor Jews always having to watch this fucking shit, like, that is completely, like, underrepresenting his people, you know, like, I mean, it just must suck.
Just America in general. I mean, there's just, like, no Native Americans.
What do you mean his people?
Oh, sorry, I meant you people.
Yeah. My bad. Thank you.
Use the correct
Thank
terms.
You for saying Thank that.
The closest thing we got to a black dude was Burt Reynolds in this movie.
I'd say that is probably Dax. Burt and Dax, I'd say. Just because Dax got a little bit of...
Well, he was saying Dynamite, he had the shirt.
You can't be close to black if your name is Dax Shepard.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that just sounds like the white name.
That is true. That's
a trust fund.
What was his name on last week's movie?
Fuck, what movie did we watch?
Rafer Madison or whatever his name was.
Oh, yeah. It was Rafer Madison.
What did we watch last week?
No retreat, no surrender.
Karate Christmas Miracle?
Yeah.
I was like, was that?
I wish I had realized, because you kept saying his name.
Yeah. I kept seeing if you guys were.
It didn't click with any of us that it was Rafer Madness.
Yeah.
And it was like Wednesday, I had it playing while I was getting ready for work, and you said it, and I was like, God damn.
Yeah.
I would have made so many jokes about that.
When he said Rafer, like when he started, because I knew there was a did you guys ever watch Street Ball back in like the early 2000s when they would do like the And-One mixtape tour, the professor and all that shit that they put on MTV?
You guys never watched sports.
There's a guy named Skip to My Lou who was a street baller, and his name was Rafer Alston, and I actually met that guy. So like when they said Rafer, I was like, oh shit. And then they said Rafer Madison, I was like, oh my god. They fucking named a guy Rafer Madison, the only black guy in the movie. That's why I kept saying his name last week.
Oh, yeah, Juice wasn't here last week.
Yeah, no, I had to miss out. So I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Would you have picked up on that, Juice? If the only black guy in a karate movie was named Rafer Madison?
I don't know if I would have picked up on that. I'm used to having, you know, an unusual name and people acted really weird about it. Like,
yeah,
why is your name Juice?
Don't tell me what it is. I don't know what your real name is.
People would be like, that's not on your birth certificate. Your mom didn't name you that. And it's like, my mom did name me that, actually. Not on my birth certificate. It's not on my birth certificate. But she was the one who gave me that name. So
his birth name was Juicelton III.
If a redneck dude named Bubba that isn't named Bubba can go around calling himself that, nobody should question you.
Yeah. I have family around here that I don't know what their real name is.
Right.
There's like, Pookies.
That's Tig. That's fucking Robo. That's this Junior. Guy. There's Corn Cob. I don't know who these motherfuckers are. Who was it? Corn Cob?
Yeah, there was
there was you guys watch the first 48? That's always that shit. I don't know, man. His name was fucking Dice Game.
Our main school bully in Boomville was Bobo. His name was Bobo.
Like, oh yeah, redheaded Dragon? Bobo, man. Oh, I've got a good Boomville story about
that
Bobo.
That might have been his real name.
Well, Ben. Bobo.
Well, Ben.
That's not that far-fetched a real name around here.
No, his name was Ralph, wasn't it? Wasn't his real name Ralph something?
No, that we had another bully the name Ralph.
Oh, I'm thinking of Ralph.
You're thinking of RJ.
RJ, I'm thinking of RJ. Yeah. Who's Bobo?
Patreon.
Bobo Stories.
Bobo Springer. Save that shit for Boomville Stories coming up on Patreon.
Are you talking about Bubba?
Yeah, we're finally everybody, we're finally releasing the Corey Feldman. We're done with that motherfucker.
For now.
For now, unless he gives us an interview, in which case we're going to kiss his boots.
We got sidetracked last week. You were supposed to tell us something about that. Is it a moot point now?
I don't know. I reached out to his people. I do not know that. First of all,
so you got a hold of an angel.
We'll say this. I sent an email to who he provides as his publicist, his manager, and Corey himself. His manager's email is not a real email. Phil@philshapiro.com is not the the email of his manager. So I'm starting to doubt all three of them because none of those motherfuckers emailed me back. Apparently Corey does not want to pump the vinyl record that he can't sell. Not exactly flying off the shelves. Because he's now sold 50 of them, Jacob. Did you hear about that?
Oh, shit.
A couple days ago. So he's been out for 3 weeks. He's Corey goddamn Feldman. He's been in 100 movies. In 3 weeks, he sold 50 vinyl records.
So guys, go over to Patreon. You'll hear us talk about Corey Feldman a whole bunch. You can listen to all the back Corey Feldman episodes, but we're going to start talking about our silly hometown and all the crazy shenanigans that went down there. People seem to like those stories. Juice, I wanted to say something real quick because something popped in my head.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Once again, when I was saying that, you know, like,
is it safe?
Right when this movie came on, I felt like black people were underrepresented, and then I thought, why can't they just give him a black friend? Why can't one of the friends be black? But then I was like, you know how many movies I've seen with like four kids, and it's three white kids and one black kid. I ain't never seen a movie where it's three black kids and one white kid.
Yeah, that we're trying to fix that in 2021, I guess.
Movies want to make money, dude. What are you talking?
Yeah, that was the popular idea, is that black people didn't go to the movies, and then I guess Black Panther happened, and they realized how wrong they were for all of eternity.
Have you not seen 8 Mile?
God damn it! But Dusty, the star is the white kid in that one. But you are right.
You didn't say anything about the star.
It's getting better. But no, I'm just saying, like the Goonies. Like if they made the Goonies and like all those kids were black except for one was white and one was
Asian. What is it? Attack the Block?
We wouldn't be talking about Goonies right now. Yeah, Attack the Block.
Oh, Attack the Block. But was there a white kid in that?
Who cares?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We're talking. That's the whole scenario we're looking for.
If there is
one white kid and the rest are black kids.
Yeah, so, I'm saying they never have black kids have a one white friend. And if they do, it's for comedy. And if, well, no, I've never seen that.
But Ben, maybe black kids don't collect white friends the way white kids collect black friends.
Yeah, white people needed one black friend so they could prove they weren't racist. That's like a thing.
That's why we brought you on the podcast, because we
that's what I'm here. I'm here as part of the three-fifths compromise
on the Black Panther episode.
On the nose.
We have 4 3/5 people on this podcast.
I was like, I know a black guy. We'll get him on the show.
I didn't until the Black Panther episode.
See, and that's part sad. Of being from Boomville.
No.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyway, I wanted to address that because
I'm glad you fulfilled your necessary duty to yourself to address that. I've lived with it, so that's cool.
Well, you're just here to make us feel better. Just remember that.
Yeah, I know. And that's why black people exist in America, is to make white people feel worse.
And it's working, man. Just stay where you're at.
It's all gravy.
Wouldn't have been able
losing their minds.
Also, typically on the kind of movies where the main characters are four black kids, it's somebody that's a little bit more aware of the inequality in Hollywood. So they have a pretty diverse cast in the first place. It's the ones that haven't pulled their head out of their ass yet are the ones that was like, all right, this movie's almost done. Shit. We gotta have a black guy in this movie.
Yeah. And he just walks in the background with a big old smile looking at the camera.
Yeah. Was it not another team movie where he walks here and he's like, hey, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You can't be here. What are you talking?
Yeah.
I'm just here to say stuff like, damn, and that is whack.
That's true.
Dynamite!
And then after something crazy happens, he goes, damn, that is whack.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Whack.
No, and that paid, was without a paddle. Less. What do we got? A yes, maybe, kind of. I don't recommend this movie. I don't know, no. Right?
Yep, sounds good.
It's a good date movie.
It works for a date. I'll give that.
Yeah, it's a good date movie.
We didn't talk about there were a lot of trailer jokes.
I feel like if I took a date to this movie, I would not get a second date.
Yeah, but that's because you date like art house chicks with fucking bangs and fucking they know shit. You know what I mean? We date dummies, Ben.
I'm glad you like to think I would.
You date that chick that Seth Green hooked up with and can't hardly wait. She's too cool for everybody.
Yeah, oh, I always did. I was always attracted to
Amber Ambrose. What was it? Yeah, what was her name?
Yeah, she's good in that.
She was really great in 6 Feet Under.
Yes, she is very good.
She kind of like, no, not at all.
I love 6 Feet Under.
Hey. Real quick, another joke.
Go for it, please.
Another joke when they stop in the hillbilly town there was a really good moment to go inbreeders, by the way, because there were two hillbilly guys sitting on a bench just like that movie.
What are you looking at, boy?
When he's talking on the phone and he's talking to his girlfriend and Dax Shepard is on Seth Green's back. Like and she's giving him shit, and then you just hear take a picture, and it's and he's like, I'm on the little guy's back, and he fucking takes his phone away to take a picture, and then he gets like broken up with because he was so stupid he had to take a picture. I thought that
they also give Seth Green a hard time about that phone, like he's some sort of weirdo for having a cell phone.
He's just a super overly prepared nerd. That's what it always is in those movies.
This was back before everybody had a phone.
At least a satellite phone. Because this was like 2004 was like people were... Because I had a cell phone in 2004. Yeah, I was late to the game.
I had
like,
brick phones by then.
Yeah, so satellite phone. Because I had like a little tiny Ericsson.
You know, if Matthew Lillard would have just said, I'm going camping with my friends, we decide after the funeral to go camping in our dead friend's honor. Instead of saying we're going on a treasure hunt... he probably would have, you know, gotten a little more sympathy. It's just the stupid words he chose.
Well, he's inconsiderate.
Also, I don't think he would have because women weren't wrote like that.
This cell phone joke was stolen from Jurassic Park 3, where the Spinosaurus ate the cell phone, and every time you heard it ringing, that means the dinosaur is nearby. And then later, I think, didn't they find it in his poop? In that movie,
yeah, this bear shit in the woods
happened. Yeah,
maybe
bear shit in the woods. Thank you. Yeah.
And speaking of that bear, strangely pooped underneath a bunch of shrubbery without disturbing it, because it didn't.
Here he goes.
Always looking at the strangest things. You always have the strangest takes on these. Like what bothers you about him?
Move some shrubbery aside to see that bear poop.
You're like, no, I didn't mind the deer that growled at him with fanged teeth, but it was the bear not messing up any shrubbery when he took a shit.
Or the super uncomfortable Seth Green exposition, just didn't notice it at all, but it didn't disturb the shrubbery whatsoever. What are you, David Attenborough?
One thing I did notice is that the rapids scene, how'd they film that, man? Because that's...
Probably just some savages, honestly. I imagine
filming Jaws on a still ocean was like really hard. Filming like stunts and stuff on rapids, like that's got to be insane, because like rapids are so fucking unpredictable and hard to... it's tough, man. I don't know.
When Dax Shepard yelled, "I'm in over my head," that part was pretty
funny. And the fact that they survived any of that shit, also the fact that, you know, like any of their stuff. Like, they'd always like still have stuff for a little while after they went underwater, but everything's just dry afterwards, and nothing, and like his inhaler still works, and you know, yeah. It's like, I don't know. But like I said, I noticed those things, but with movies like this, I can really.
What if Seth Green had said, like, after they got out and he takes a breath of his inhaler, he's like, oh man, thank God I got this new prototype inhaler, which is waterproof. You remember the story about that, don't you guys? When I bought this new prototype asthma inhaler that was waterproof specifically?
Yeah.
That would have cleared that up.
Yeah, it saved their lives a bunch of times. So it's like super important to them, yeah. But you still have to explain you it remember to them sometimes.
That. You remember your mom, right? How she
you remember know, your girlfriend, you. Right? She's real unreasonable when you forget specific dates. Oh, man.
Exposition.
Seth's position. I do not. I don't recommend this movie.
So the guy who watched it 40 times, huh?
Yeah. Well, I the 14-year-old
me, Batman v Superman it.
15-year-old me would have recommended the shit out of this movie, but I've moved on. Seen Pulp Fiction since then. You know what I mean? I would recommend it to, like, and this isn't an insult, I'd recommend it to, like, Jacob, like, to people who, and like I said, it's not an insult, to people who I know would, like, appreciate a movie like, I would recommend it to, like, my dad, or like people who can actually appreciate movies like this. There's a few people, and like I said, Jacob, I admire the fact that you
it's for these types of movies, this is far from an offensive one. I'm like, yeah. This isn't like the worst of the crop or anything. It just is. It's a black olive. It's a green olive. It's any olive.
It's an olive.
It's an olive.
I think it's a fine time. If you are bored and need a movie to watch and you're in a good mood, I don't know, watch it. So it's funny.
I think that's fine.
I laughed my ass off. Sorry.
There's so many other things to recommend.
No, I'm just laughing at the recommendation. Even your recommendation is very, like...
Well, that's very, the thing. It's like...
Very reserved. Like,
I'm not going to
kill time, and you've got nothing to do, and you're in a good mood.
It's one of those I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, dude, have you seen Without a Paddle? That's definitely something you have to watch.
Yeah,
but if I'm like cruising Netflix and I got nothing else to do on a Sunday, and I, you know, oh, there's Without a Paddle.
Were these nostalgic Jeff favorites? Is that why you picked these?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, let me see.
We should ask him.
It's Jeff? Jeff said he likes Let's Go to Prison, and we will too. So that's okay. A bold statement. Wow, is that Devin Sawa? I think
it's another movie with three white guys in the mountains.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Fuck yeah, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Dreamboat.
It's in my issue of Disney Adventures.
Oh my god.
I had something.
Way off, Juice.
Sorry,
Devin Sawa. I just get lost.
Devin Sawa is so dreamy. Hey, follow him on Twitter. He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he's he's funny. He's also a very, like, partisan hack, but he's also, for which side? He's a lefty. He's a lefty. But there are certain, like, Bette Midler. There are certain. What's the Sorko guy? What's his name?
Kevin
Sorbo. He's the left. There's lefty Kevin Sorbos out
gotcha.
There. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Jeff said Without a Paddle is just okay. Johnny said howdy folks.
Johnny loves Rad as much as I do. So
I feel like Without a Paddle and No Retreat, No Surrender were good Refund Theater movies because we had pretty good conversations with both of them.
Absolutely.
I would say I enjoyed Without a Paddle more than No Retreat, No Surrender.
I did too.
Ben.
Glad I missed that one.
Anybody else? Yeah,
Juice. Ben, which one did you enjoy more? It's okay if you pick either one's okay. No wrong answers here.
I guess I enjoyed No Retreat, No Surrender more because it had a riff tracks going with it.
So, oh yeah, you watched the riff tracks. Okay,
motherfucker. Yeah. Leader.
That's not cheating. I've seen it as a kid. I saw it last year with Mystery Science Theater. I don't need to see it without the commentary. There's like, I've seen the movie. I don't need to see it without the funny commentary.
Dusty, no retreat, no surrender.
Imagine if someone was like, hey, I'm good for Refund Theater. They're going to watch one of the movies we're watching this week. And then they just go, you know what? I don't even want to listen to what they have to say about it.
Only two options. No retreat, yeah. No surrender.
Okay. Johnny said he says that a good three white guy movie is Airheads.
I love it. Yeah. I actually thought about Airheads a few times today while watching this.
I haven't seen it.
What?
Man, what? I know.
I knew that was going to happen. I knew he was going to freak.
I don't know if it's going to blow your mind, but it was passable 90s fare.
I don't like know if Airheads. There's any black people in it.
It's probably got a.
I feel like Tim Meadows, is probably in it.
I was going to say Tim Meadows. Yeah. I think
it might be in it. But no, I love Airheads. That's one of my go to good time movies.
I like those three white guys.
Was it Steve Buscemi?
Adam Sandler and Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser.
And Adam Sandler.
Michael McKean also Ooh. In it. Judd Nelson.
I was a little last week, but did I bring up Shakes the Clown?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Dusty, I just want to make sure. I watched that recently, and I was kind of surprised by it.
Dusty, how much did you love Without a Paddle?
I did not laugh once.
Goddamn.
You are a soulless human being.
Rob Zombie's in your heads? Ugh.
What?
Rob Zombie
digs to the dishes.
Wow. I have peculiar comedy tastes that did not hit any of those whatsoever. I don't even remember liking this when I saw it the first time. That's probably why I only saw it once. If it had entertained me and made me laugh at all, it would have got rewatched multiple times. And
sorry.
It fucking didn't.
Sorry I didn't have the comedy caviar that is Son-in-Law.
It didn't. Nobody in this was charming.
The sophisticated.
Yeah.
I love Son-in-Law, but goddamn. There's some people in fucking Airheads. Fucking.
Quite a few people.
Former WCW champion David Arquette.
Yeah, man. Dude, Airheads is bomb, dude. It's so good. It's about a band that can't get noticed, so they decide to
Did you totally see yourself in it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like this band can't get noticed. They can't get their tape to people, and they just know that if people hear their music that everything will, you know, work out.
Oh, so it's Bill and Ted. Okay.
But they go and like bring fake guns and like hold hostage a radio station until that radio station plays their song.
I'm glad you told me that. I don't have to watch it now. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, but hijinks ensue.
Hijinks.
Chris Farley.
Ready for some hijinks?
Yeah. Good movie. Yeah. It's worth it, man. It's Wayne's World. It's Wayne's World too good.
Is it Wayne's World too good?
I feel like Wayne's World 2 had like a lot of good satire in it, and Airheads is just passable 90s comedy.
It may have been a bad.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's bad.
I'm just saying Wayne's World 2 is actually pretty good. Cause
I love Wayne's World 2.
Garth finally got pubes.
Yeah. Wayne's World 2 is a great sequel.
The Charlton Heston bit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's funny as fuck. The female Garth. Kim Basinger.
I forgot about the female Garth.
The guy with one weird eye.
And what's great is Wayne's World set up a type of universe where all that stuff is allowed, and it's not like rolling your eyes at it.
True.
You're like, oh, that all makes sense.
And
how they did that.
Oh, God, I love those movies. But, man, that's it. Anyway. Speaking of, this is like Wayne's World and Wayne's World 2. Timeless comedies, and you're right, Ben, or was it Dusty? Yeah, you're right, Dusty. I also didn't watch this after the first time I saw it, and I remember, like I said, I remember enjoying it, but I think I enjoyed it today more than I enjoyed it the first time.
That's great. I'm fucking excited. I'm fucking stoked about that.
I'm stoked.
That's what I wonder about. Let's Go to Prison. Like,
yeah.
I wonder if it will be funny to me now because it is Bob Odenkirk and Thomas Lennon and I might not have got half the fucking jokes in the movie the first time I saw it. Like, it may be a Tim and Eric fucking show at this point.
Fine wine. It might be fine wine.
Yeah. Like, oh shit, I didn't, you know, because when it come out, that was the fucking Dane Cook comedy era. So
good, you mean?
Yeah. Juice, what's your review?
I mean, you could watch it, you could enjoy it, but you probably shouldn't expect too much out of this movie.
Yeah,
there's three white guys in the movie.
If you see the cover of this movie and you're like, that looks good, you'll like this movie.
Yes. It's Homeward Bound with people.
That's funny.
That is a good point. Like
Homeward Bound. That's funny.
Yeah.
So what are we doing next week? Are we doing Ben's pick? Is it Ben's pick and then the prison movie?
Yeah, Jeff requested it. Jeff requested a Ben's pick sandwich. So we will be doing Ben's. I think I know what you're picking, Ben.
Yeah, you do. I've got it on here. I'm going to put it on a Google Drive so everybody can grab it. Does everybody have a computer you can watch something on? Plug into the TV?
This sounds obscure.
I can put this on a thumb stick and plug it into your
PS4. Yeah.
I'm going to put it on my laptop onto the TV. Jacob, you've forgotten. Yeah, he told us what this was during the Dr. Doolittle movie that we watched. What's that fucking movie called? The one with
the Beastmaster.
The Beastmaster.
That's right.
Movie. I don't remember what movie was called.
Was it Love on a Leash? Is that the one?
Yeah. No. So then, I guess next week we are going to watch, somewhat notorious movie, 1981's Roar. In which Melanie Griffith gets her face fucked up by an elephant and has to have reconstructive surgery.
What?
What's the mom? What's her mom's name?
Tippi Hedren,
from the Birds. And Tippi Hedren gets thrown around all over the place. She becomes a big animal rights activist after this movie.
Somebody suffers a broken leg from an elephant squeezing its leg too tight.
Yep.
And breaking their leg.
I've heard about this.
Ben told you about it.
Yeah. You're going to enjoy this, Jacob, because it's going to have a lot of wild animals and none of them are trained and none of them are being movied. You know, they're not scaring an animal. They're just letting the animals do their thing and the people are all getting hurt. And it's great. It's amazing. You've never seen a movie that's so boring, but you're also like boring plot wise because there's no plot, but you're just on the edge of your seat the whole time.
This movie is mega bombed too. I just looked at that. Yeah. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, yeah. I want to go into it, but I've got background info on it.
Hell yeah! So
I think me and Ben had heard of it before. And I've recently discovered where it was that we'd heard about it. Red Letter Media did it on one of their Best of the Worst, and they thought it was absolutely fucking fantastic.
I'm excited to watch this movie. I've been stoked to watch this for a while.
I'm so fucking ready.
I feel like I heard about this with something in relation to Tiger King. Like,
probably because it's like an inverse Tiger King.
Yeah.
It's like Man King. You listen to Bunny Ears, don't you?
That's where I've heard of it.
Okay. Macaulay Culkin talks about it. He was on the Red Letter Media episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tune in next week for Roar. Sign up for the Patreon.
Finally, shit.
Yeah.
Hear us roar. Oh,
yeah. Sign up for the Patreon to hear some Boonville stories this week. I've been looking forward to this. We're done with Corey Feldman. I just enjoy hearing you guys talk about your fucking weird ass podunk upbringing. So,
but we're going to talk about wet dirt and semen.
I'm going to turn the stream off.
Topical.
Oh, Johnny, thank you for kicking it. Jeff, thank you for kicking it. Gibbons, thank you for kicking it. I just want to let you guys know, our good friend Justin Peel just started a Twitch channel.
Oh.
And I wanted to pump that today. Give it a follow. It is it's Dragon's Claw 525. Dragon S Claw 525. If you're wondering how to spell that, we're following it as the Refund Theater page. Go check him out. He's the shit, and he's been streaming a lot. So
I've played games with this dude for over 10 years now. He's always a fun time because he's sucks and he gets mad about it.
See, that's the best. Fucking follow the shit out of him. That's as good of an endorsement as you can get right there.
Many nights of hours of trying to get something right and Dragon getting mad and leaving this all high and dry. It's like, ah, you motherfucker. Now it's on video for everybody to see.
There it is. You can't love get a better Peel endorsement than that. Yeah. So follow Justin Peel. If you love us, you love him, and have a good night.
And guys, we found DB Cooper's treasure, so now we can get our precious things back.
Fuck yeah, our precious things.
Ben's got a burning barrel to go stand around and warm his hands here in a minute. So
just his fingers.
Hieronymus Bozo.
No, Ben's actually gonna go find a chain and a rock so he can put Jason in his resting place forever.
It's his puppet master cosplay. One of those little puppet master dolls.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's
with
strong.
The big arms and the little tiny head.
His name Tiny.
Tiny, yeah, that was his name, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you look just like him.
Big arms. Sorry.
Yeah, he's a girl.
Yeah, he was like the muscle man of the. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Or he's got a street fight to attend.
To attend. He's got like a schedule of there's a street fight going.
We talked too much about Kumite's last weekend. He had to find one in West Arkansas this weekend.
You see Ben just look at his watch and go, "Pool, shit, yeah. Fucking leave because he's got like, a."
Come on, guys, we got the Kumite.
There's a big Kumite going on.
Yeah, he's like
that Neil Breen shirt throws him off, and then he gets the upper hand.
Kind of looks like Neil Breen himself is doing those moves. if you like cross your eyes a little bit.
You need a black tank top, Ben. You need a black tank top and them
that actually works pretty gloves.
That's for you YouTube people and you Twitch people. If you're listening to this on the feed, you're missing it. You're missing the Breen.
I got a compliment on my Breen shirt by my bud tender today. It was pretty sweet.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Right on.
Oh, aren't you fancy? Bud tender.
That's what they call them.
Yeah, instead of like the hipster mustaches, they got a big ass beard like Tommy Chong in fucking that 70s. Well, or Tommy Chong whenever. I was going to say in that 70s show, but Tommy Chong always has a beard pretty much. Well, I guess new like old man Tommy Chong doesn't have a beard, right? Once he got out of prison, I think he didn't have a beard.
I thought he kept a goatee.
Does he still have a goatee?
I think he still has an old man goatee.
You guys, you know what I just realized? That
Batman and Superman's moms had the same name?
No.
Fuck, I guess that was a good movie.
I just realized that in between episodes here, we're not going to have to listen to three Corey Feldman songs.
Dude, I know, man. We can go straight into it. I didn't have to do any research.
Let me tell you a secret.
I'll be right back.
Let me tell you a secret. I didn't have to listen to them the last, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah,
oh, it's
true.
No secret. No secret. You let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
want it to get to Corey Feldman's ears that he has been so pathetic to another human being on this planet. I don't give a flying fuck what happens to him.
And we were getting paid to listen to him, and Dusty wouldn't do it. Yeah. That's how bad it is.
I get paid shit.
Yeah, we're trying to get you trying to get microphones.
Microphones, and we got to pay for stuff like without a paddle because now it's going to be on my Voodoo forever.
That is
hey, what
true.
What about the other one?
Other what? Oh, yeah.
The other movie. God damn.
I'll have to Voodoo it. Yeah.
What, Let's Go to Prison?
Yeah.
Surely it's on something.
I'm going to turn the stream off because I am going to pee my pants.
Oh, so, yeah. Like, do your thing. Bye, everybody. Thank you for
love
watching.
Love you guys. Bye.
I guess viewers, though.
Well, if they're still here, you guys want to kick it?
No, I mean, YouTube? No, you peeing your pants would get viewers. Oh, just pee your pants on the stream.
If peeing your pants is cool, you can call me Miles Davis.
That is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
The dressing room.